Chapter 22. The Falcon slices through hyperspace.
"You look nervous,"
Han says to Nora, sitting in the co-pilot's chair, a chair that has a very deep seat and is lower to the floor than the other, a chair worn most often by a much bigger individual, like, say, a Wookiee.
"I'm not nervous," she says.
She's nervous. It's hard not to be. She's admired this ship a great deal from afar.
How could she not?
This should be a clunky, junky freighter, but she's seen it move. The way it whips and dips through the chaos of battle is a thing to behold. Performance like that steals your breath just watching it. She and her Y-Wing followed the Falcon, then piloted by Calrissian and his Sullustan co-pilot, into the maze-like innards of the second Death Star. It was a thing to marvel. A sight she will never forget. That's from the outside. On the inside? She's surprised this thing holds together. It's got the structural integrity of a sack of spare parts. Nothing matches. Things dangle. Wires lie exposed. Panels don't match their moorings. The console doesn't even look original to the ship. It's like her son built it in his workshop back on Akiva. Bits sit welded to other bits, or worse, are stuck together with wound-up wads of bonding tape and shellacked over with shiny epochs. Nora is afraid this thing might break into pieces right here in the middle of rocketing through hyperspace. Solo, for his part, seems like he's embraced the chaos of it. Sometimes an alarm goes off, or part of the dash goes dark, and then he pounds it with the side of his fist, or jiggles the wires hanging underneath. Then it all comes back online. He smirks and winks. Nora, in order to not talk about the orbital garbage fire in which they are currently traveling, says,
"We sure Aram gave us good info?"
"We'll find out, won't we? If his codes don't check out, we're gonna have to get out of there fast as a blaster."
He closes his eyes and pinches the flesh at the center of his brow.
"You know what? It'll work. It has to work."
Because, she knows, this is their only shot. Kashyyyk is a prison planet, a worldwide labor camp. The Empire, in its xenophobic monstrousness, saw fit to imprison and enslave the Wookiees there, not because they offered a meaningful threat to the Emperor's ascendancy, but because they were different, and because their massive, robust physiology would allow them to work long and hard in extreme conditions. Probably took rather epic effort to work a Wookiee to death. Not that the Empire wouldn't try, she wagers. At that, she fails to repress a shudder.
"It'll work," she says,
because it has to work. Solo reaches above him, sets the stabilizers with a few flips of a few switches.
"We're coming up on it. You ready for this?"
"No." "Yes."
"Dropping out of light speed."
He gives a quick tap to the nav computer screen, then eases back on the throttle. The long light lines go from streaks to stars. And there is their destination. Kashyyyk, a green, verdant planet. She spies snow-capped mountains and snaking rivers leading to oceans of dark water. But above all else are the forests. Even from here, the forests pop. The clouds swirling above atmosphere have to swirl around and through the trees. But look closer, and you see devastation. Patches of forest gone, dark and gray. Rivers stemmed to a trickle. Black dots across the seas. Imperial undersea mining platforms, she guesses. White clouds swirl into hurricanes of black smoke. If she can see the destruction from all the way out here, in space, how bad is it on the ground? What have they done to this world? All around the planet hangs the Imperial blockade. Dozens of ships, a pair of Star Destroyers, a handful of battleships, plus shuttle traffic and patrols of TIE starfighters.
"We should have come in an Imperial ship," she says,
Behind them, a blip on the scanners. Another craft dropping out of hyperspace. Her heart tightens in her chest, even though she knows that ship. It's the Halo, following behind. Jazz is piloting it. The rest of the crew is with her, leaving Nora to accompany the smuggler.
I said it'll be fine, Solo says. We didn't have time, anyway.
Surely they know your ship.
They do. But we got Aram's Imperial codes, remember? Besides, they think the Falcon is destroyed.
How's that?
After I lost Chewie, I hired a slicer to hack the Empire's networks. See if I could find out anything. While in there, she did me a favor and updated their records on me and the Falcon. I'm listed as dead. And this ship is listed as having gone kaboom.
She hesitates.
And our gunship?
Like I said, your gunship is an SS-54. Fortunately for us, Imperial bureaucracy is an immovable object. Once upon a time, the Empire classified that ship as a light freighter. Would take mountains of paperwork and official approvals to get it redesignated in their databases. So, they don't see a gunship. They see a freighter.
That keeps our story, then.
Sure does, lady. Sure does.
That story? They're bringing parts and a repair crew down to the surface of Kashyyyk to do repairs on the prison known as Ashmead's Lock, at the behest of the prison's designer, Golas Aram. Simple, clean. As if on cue, the comm crackles.
This is Star Destroyer Dominion. You are in illegal approach of Imperial Territory G5623. Identify yourselves and transmit clearance codes, or you will be marked as a trespasser and in violation of Galactic Code.
Han clears his throat and gives a nervous smile to Nora, possibly meant to reassure her before speaking.
This is Light Freighter Conveyance, accompanied by Light Freighter, the Swan. Stand by for code transmission.
He gives the nod, and Nora uploads the codes. Silence on the other end.
They're not buying it, she says.
They're buying it.
More silence.
They're not buying it.
They haven't charged up their weapons.
A burst of static across the comm. Then,
what is your purpose on the surface of Imperial Territory G5623, Conveyance?
We're sent to do repairs on an old prison. We were sent by Golas Aram at the request of the Empire. We have technical parts in the crew to install them. Sir.
More silence. Nora hears only the blood rushing in her ears.
Not today. Turn your ships around and please exit Imperial space.
Han's brow furrows with frustration. He gets back on the comm.
I apologize. I don't understand, sir. The code clearance...
The planet is on lockdown, Freighter Conveyance. No one in, no one out. By order of Emperor Palpatine himself.
Palpatine? Nora sits forward in her pilot's seat. Chills run roughshod over her skin, and she can't shake them off. Could he be alive? After all this? Solo whispers to her.
He's dead. Relax.
Then back on the comm.
Sir, I apologize. I was to understand that the Emperor did not survive.
Then you understand poorly. The Emperor is alive and well. Imperial Territory G5623 is under quarantine. I repeat, turn around or we will be forced to open fire.
Panic traps both of them in its grip. Han and Nora look at each other. His eyes are wild. He's like a caged animal, desperate to chew its way through the enclosure. He reaches for the weapon systems. Nora catches his hand. What are you doing?
What do you mean, what am I doing? We're gonna blast our way through this. You know, the old-fashioned way of doing things.
They've got two Star Destroyers there.
Oh, hey, thanks for that update. By the way, the Falcon's punched its way through a lot worse. We'll make it to the surface.
And what then?
Then we head to the coordinates Aram gave us.
With half the Empire on our tails?
I don't mind those odds, sister.
She grabs for the comm and speaks into it, desperate for a solution.
Except it's not the Imperials she hails. Instead, she routes her comm through to the Halo. Jazz answers.
Nora, I don't think they're interested.
I know. Get Singier. The shuffling of fabric. Then Singier's voice crackles over the dash.
You called?
I need something. A code. Imperial. Emergency. High ranking. Something. Anything that will get us planet side.
Damn. It's been a while. Tell them it's a 999327. That's a classified work order code.
She flips the comm back. Star Destroyer Dominion, she says. This is the conveyance. I'm told to try one last time, sir. We are here at the demand of Grand Admiral Ray Sloan and Imperial Advisor Yup Tishu.
It's a wild shot in the dark, her plucking two names of powerful people, two of whom she has personally encountered, and hoping those names have enough power.
We are here to service Ashmead's Lock, a prison that contains high-value prisoners. Prisoners assigned to this prison by the Emperor himself. Sir, we have a work order. 999327?
She repeats it. Even as she speaks the words, she knows how little a chance it gives them. So what then? Blast their way through, apparently? Which she is pretty sure will be a death sentence.
Hold,
comes the voice. Han gives her a look.
They're not gonna buy it.
I know.
When they don't buy it, I'm gonna blast our way onto that planet.
I know that too.
Better buckle up then. It's about to get...
Conveyance, this is Dominion. You are clear to land.
The breath that leaves Nora's chest leaves her shaking. You were saying, Captain Solo? About to get what?
Don't get cocky, lady. Nobody likes a preening peacock. Let's get planetside before they change their mind.
The call comes across her holoscreen in the middle of a meeting with the Shadow Council. Brendel Hux is at one end of the table, bellowing at Rand, the former red-cheeked, and with a vein throbbing across his brow. The latter, standing stiff as a flagpole and looking rather bored. Sloane's device pings with the call from a Star Destroyer. The Dominion, in the Kashyyyk system.
If you'll excuse me, she says,
and the men all stop and give her a quizzical, irritated look. Idiots. She steps out of the room and into one of the Ravager's austere steel hallways. She takes the call. On her screen, Rear Admiral Urien Orlan appears. He's a plastic-cheeked, bird-nosed little man. She never much cared for him. He was a hesitant commander, one of the weakest she knew. And yet he accelerated past her in years previous, ironically giving command of a Star Destroyer named Dominion. Orlan has dominion over very little except his hair, which is so perfectly placed against his brow, she suspects it's fake.
This is a courtesy call, he says.
Not courteous enough to defer to my authority, she says. Here, let me help you. Greetings, Grand Admiral Sloan. It is my most distinct pleasure to be speaking to you today, sir. Try that on for size, Urien.
He licks his lips and says,
Yes, of course, Grand Admiral. It is a pleasure.
The truth is, G5623 is one of those Imperial territories that has not yet properly fallen in line with the rest. Like a Noat, they're still telling the myth that Palpatine is alive and well. That he's not merely some demonic ghost commanding an empire from beyond the grave, but he escaped the exploding Death Star by improbable, even miraculous means. They remain fairly self-sufficient, so much so that this remnant has holed up there, protecting itself overmuch from outside influence.
What is it, Urien?
I was wondering about the prison.
What prison would that be?
Ashmead's Lock, here on G5623.
I'm not familiar with it.
His nose twitches.
Are you quite sure?
Do you think me a fool or a liar?
I do not, of course. It's just we had two ships. We turned them away, but they insisted they had a code clearance from, well, you.
Describe these ships to me.
He does, sending rudimentary schematics to her screen. Two light freighters, a YT-1300 and an SS-54. The latter is really a gunship, misdiagnosed as a freighter. It's not for carrying parts. She's dealt with two ships of those models before. It's an unusual combination. Too unlikely to be a coincidence. Could it be the Millennium Falcon and the ship belonging to the Bounty Hunter? The Halo, is it? That's the same crew that slipped from her grip on Akiva. The same crew, in fact, that's been hunting down Imperials, often getting to them before she could. At least Mercurial dispatched that last one right out from under them. And the Falcon belongs to General Solo. Robbing the New Republic of someone like him isn't militarily significant, but the damage it would do to their morale, though, it could also provoke them into a fight for which they aren't yet ready. Whatever the case, the incursion cannot stand.
Sir?
Admiral Orlan asks.
Send a team to investigate, she tells him. Report back.
He hesitates. The chain of command is no longer what it used to be. Orlan is a man of different masters. Why even call her then? Perhaps to stay just enough on her good side in case he's forced to make a choice.
I'll have to check with Grand Moff Tolrok. If he approves...
Tell him he will approve, or he will see a visit from me.
Yes. Yes, sir. Of course, sir.
And then, Admiral Urien Orlan is gone. She turns around and finds she's not alone. Admiral Rax stands there, silent as a specter. His black-gloved hands are clasped in front of him.
Everything all right?
He asks. She might as well tell him. He probably already knows. So Sloan spills the story. His face registers no surprise.
Call Orlan back, Rax says. Tell him we did approve the repairs on the prison.
But we did no such thing.
No, but we're doing it now.
The two ships. I believe they belong to known New Republic malefactors. The crew of Imperial Hunters seems to have joined ranks with one of the Rebellion's cultural heroes, General Solo. Taking them out
is the wrong fight.
How is that exactly?
He rests a gentle hand on her shoulder, though it feels to her like it weighs 1,000 kilograms.
A light touch that could crush her.
Placating and condescending to boot.
Admiral Sloan, we do not want to goad them into a fight right now. We are on the cusp of making our attack on Chandrila. We don't want to give them any sign that it's coming. No preemptive attacks. We must appear weak. They must be bloated with overconfidence.
This is wrong.
Trust me. I have it all in hand. Which reminds me, the instruments are nearly all lined up, and the music has been written. It is time to perform the song. Chandrila must fall, but first, I need your help.
She hesitates. It feels like she's getting into bed with a viper.
How?
I have a task.
He tells her what it is. And when he does, she cannot help feel like she's being ushered toward another test. Or worse, a trap.
I'll do it, she says. And I'll make sure Admiral Orlan knows that we did, in fact, approve of the work on G5623.
Good, he says, and reaches forward and kisses her brow. His lips are cold. Her whole body tenses up as he performs the gesture, a gesture made as if he is blessing her somehow. She wants to vomit. When he's gone, she does indeed call Orlan. But then she makes another call, because someone is going to go to the Kashyyyk system on her behalf. She will not let this opportunity escape her. It is her life preserver, and she will hold on tight.